welcome everyone again. Happy Easter again. It's great to be with you here today. Honored to have you in the house of the Lord. Today we're kicking off a brand new message series. We're calling it Built Different. That phrase, Built Different, a few years ago, it blew up on TikTok, Instagram, social media. It describes someone who has extraordinary talent or ability, someone who is unique, exceptional, above average. And my message to you today is, that's you. You are built different. You don't crumble under pressure like other people do. You don't walk away or quit when the going gets tough. You wake up every morning looking for opportunities to do God's work, to be a blessing to others and make a difference. You don't conform to the world's standards or try to blend in with the crowd. No, you are one of a kind, authentic. But none of that is by your own power. It's all through God's power. See, when God raised Jesus from the dead, he wasn't interested. His goal wasn't really to patch up your old life. He wanted to build a whole new life for you. Resurrection power isn't about giving you an improved version of yourself, some slightly better than before. It's about dead things coming back to life again. And so when you have faith, God puts his spirit deep down inside of you, and you become a whole new creation in Christ. You are built different. And that's what I want to talk with you about today. I want to talk with you about you are raised, not repaired. It's easy to go through life thinking you're kind of ordinary, average, maybe even mediocre in some areas. Deep down, we all have some things we need to work on, right? My problem is patience or lack thereof. I become frustrated quickly when I get in the wrong line at the supermarket or caught behind a slow driver. It makes me very upset. Maybe you have some issues too. I'm working on mine, maybe you're working on yours. But you know what? It's tempting in life when we pray to just ask God to fix things up a little bit here and there in our life. You know, God, fix my spouse. You know, he's just not as grateful as he used to be. Or God, deal with these annoying coworkers. Get them off my back. God, help me control these kids. They're totally out of control. They're off course. You know, God, fix my mistakes. Give me better habits. And that's good. That's good. God always wants to help. But to be honest, he's not really in the fix-it business. He doesn't want to just patch up the potholes of your life. He wants you to drive down a whole new highway, a smooth, open road headed straight to the amazing destiny he created you to fulfill. And so if you're still struggling with that anger or the depression, the isolation, the loneliness, the trouble at home or work, know this, God is already working behind the scenes to help you overcome that and transform your life completely. Because Easter resurrection power isn't about repairing things, it's about raising things to new life. I grew up in a suburb of Atlanta called Vinings. And back in those days, back in the day, most of the people who lived there were middle class, working folks. And our house, like most other houses in that neighborhood, was three bedrooms and two bathrooms. It looked like this, coming up on the screen here. It was just a simple little house. It was pretty on the outside. It was designed as to look like a Swiss chalet, but it wasn't anything big or fancy. And you know, I loved my neighborhood. I mean, we lived on a dead-end street. My brother and I could pretty much play wherever we wanted. The problem was, over time, that little house started needing a facelift. And so after my father passed away, I moved in with my mom to kind of help her out a bit. And we decided to do some remodeling and sprucing things up a bit. I built a deck on the back of the house. I did it with my own two hands by myself. Did a terrible job. It was about 4 inches below where the door let out, right? So you had that's one giant leap for mankind every time you wanted to go out for the barbecue. But, you know, it was solid. Nothing looked right, but it was solid, and I was pretty proud of that. We also tried modernizing the downstairs, the little tiny downstairs bathroom we had, installing new shower tiles and flooring, and I even had the idea of doing some landscaping in the backyard myself and make it look nice. But after a while, we started realizing that it was sort of like putting lipstick on a pig. you know? And no offense to swine or swine owners out there, but the thing was that the neighborhood was changing. There were mansions going up all around us, big houses being built everywhere. The neighborhood was becoming more and more affluent. Well, eventually my mom decided to sell the house and move down to Florida next door to my brother, and I moved to California. The rest is history. But a few years after that, I came back visiting some friends, and I decided to drive through the old neighborhood. I was excited to see what it looked like. I was completely shocked. Our tiny, worn-out little house had been torn down and completely rebuilt. In its place was a full-blown McMansion, 7,000 square feet, 7 bedrooms, 7 bathrooms, worth millions. And by the way, you can get that house in Atlanta for what you can get a 1-bedroom condo here in Tiburon. But anyway, that's besides the point. But this is what God wants to do for you. He's not really interested in repairing what's broken or fixing up things here and there and maybe cleaning up the mold in the basement, so to speak, or even adding on a small room. No, God wants to build you a brand new, big, beautiful mansion out of your life, because he did not send a handyman into this world. He sent the master carpenter, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the architect of a new creation, the master builder of our lives, the one raised from the dead so he could raise you up and make you a whole new creation in him. And on that first Easter Sunday morning, 2,000 years ago, you know, Jesus didn't just slip out of the grave quietly, unnoticed. He didn't just start strolling down into town undetected. No, it was an event. The ground shook violently. An angel came down from heaven and rolled away the massive stone blocking the entrance to the tomb. The scripture says his appearance was like lightning and his clothing was white as snow. The guards were shaken with fear of him and became like dead men. Two women, Mary Magdalene and another Mary, started running away in fear. And behold, Jesus met them on their way and greeted them. And they approached, they fell at his feet, they embraced his feet, and did him homage. This was no ordinary routine situation. It was cataclysmic, life-changing, earth-shattering. And when Jesus sent those two women on a mission, it transformed them completely and the whole world. He said, "Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." See, the resurrection wasn't quiet. It was noisy, disruptive. It shook the foundations of the earth. The whole world changed in an instant. And you are part of that change because you have become a new creation in Christ. And when you truly encounter the risen Christ, your life, your story are never the same. I have something embarrassing to tell you. When I was 15 years old, I wanted to become a professional model. Everyone laughs. Why? I did. See, my best friend, her older sister, was the real deal. She lived in New York City, worked for Ford Modeling Agency, traveled the world with photo shoots in Paris and London and French Riviera and all these exotic places, and I thought it looked like a glamorous life. I've since learned that modeling, like any job, is not always glamorous. Sometimes it's demanding, grueling, and even abusive. But back then, I was young and naive, and I thought, this would be a great job. So I went out, found a photographer, and had this headshot taken. This is my dark and stormy look, right? It's patented, don't even try it. But anyway, I took that headshot down to the most prominent modeling agency in the metro Atlanta area. I walked in the door, I plunked it down on the receptionist's desk, and I said, "Sign me up." I thought for sure within a few months I'd be on one of those Times Square billboards. Well, the lady behind the desk looked at me with great pity and gently explained to me why that would not happen. She pulled out the latest edition of GQ magazine for men. You've probably heard of it, Gentleman's Quarterly. And she started flipping through the pages, showing me the pictures. Then she said, "You see those men, honey?" I said, "Yeah." "You notice their strong jawlines?" their angular features, their muscular physiques? I said, yeah. She looked at me and said, that's not you, honey. I walked out of there completely deflated, absolutely defeated. But looking back on it, I realize that I'm grateful to that lady because she showed me I simply wasn't equipped for the job. But that's not you. You, through the power of the cross, have become a new creation in Christ. You are fully equipped. You have everything you need to be God's model in the world, a model of his goodness, a model of his compassion, a model of his kindness and love. You may not realize it, but the moment you were baptized, something fundamentally changed on the inside. Just look at the life of the Apostle Peter. Before the resurrection, he was headstrong and impulsive. He didn't think before he spoke. He was brash, boastful, overconfident. One time, Jesus even said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And when Jesus was arrested, Peter drew a sword and attacked the soldier and was reprimanded by Jesus. I love the old version of Peter because he's just like me. But the man we heard in today's first reading had become a completely new person. That flawed, fearful, violent man who once denied even knowing Jesus now stood in the home of non-believers, a Roman soldier of all things, of all people, boldly proclaiming that Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior. What happened? He became a new creation in Christ. After the resurrection, he was built different. Now you might be thinking, Father Roger, I'm just the same old me. You know, I'm still struggling, still trying to do good and be good. But it's like one step forward, two steps back. Sometimes we think that if God has really rebuilt us, if he's built us different, then we should look different overnight. The truth is the change is immediate, but the transformation happens over time. The foundation of your life shifts in an instant. You become a new creation, but then the restoration takes a lifetime. When Jesus walked out of that grave on Easter morning, the resurrection was done, it was finished, it was over. But it took a long time for the disciples to finally figure out what happened. And to be honest, 2,000 years later, we're still trying to unpack it. In the same way, when God moves in you, the rebuilding is complete. But the work progresses slowly over time like a Polaroid picture. So don't get discouraged if you're still in process. You are built different. And now every season of your life is revealing more and more of what God has already done inside of you. The key is faith. Our part is to always cooperate with God's grace that has transformed us. What we have to do is what the Apostle Paul said in the second reading today, is to always seek what is above, not what is on earth. The passage goes on to say, for you have died. You have died, and now your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, your life, appears, you too, one day, will appear with him in glory. Paul was saying, that old version of you, the one defined by guilt and mistakes and what didn't work out, that old version of you no longer has the final say. That version of you is dead. Now, your new self, your future, your identity, your strength is hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? It means it's secure, it's protected, it's never going to change. It doesn't depend on how you feel or how others feel about you. You might look the same on the outside, but on the inside, you are built different. And every day, little by little, that difference is becoming more and more clear to you and everyone else, so that one day you will appear in glory with Christ. There's a man named Charles Colson. He worked for President Richard Nixon in the early 1970s. He was tough, aggressive, and willing to do whatever it took. Whatever it took. Well, when the water break scandal broke, Colson was indicted on obstruction of justice and sentenced to prison. A friend of his gave him a book by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. It's a classic. And Colson later wrote that when he read Lewis's arguments for Christ, he broke down in tears. In that moment, he gave his life to God, and he became a whole new creation. It wasn't apparent right away. It took a long time in prison for his character to develop. But slowly, slowly, he grew in faith, started repairing bridges that he had burnt, reestablishing relationships, just becoming a better person over time. And being in prison for that long, he came to understand the unique struggles that most prisoners face. And so when he was finally released, he eventually created the largest prison ministry in the world. What happened? He became a new creation in Christ. He wasn't just repaired. He was raised, redirected. He was built different. Every day, right here in our own little parish, people are being built different. God is calling them back. He's giving them faith. He's changing their lives. I see it all the time. Families who are now on fire with faith. Adult children driving across town to come to this mass. People I talk to who are looking honestly at their lives and realize they've made some mistakes and now they're looking to change. I never thought I'd see this. Young men in their mid-20s driving pickup trucks coming here to meet in small groups to talk about Christ. Our missionaries serving the poor in the Dominican Republic and right here next door to us in Tiburon. Healings and answered prayers. Through our ministries, our small groups, our missions, God is truly alive in this parish. That's because we are raised. We're not repaired. Of course, we're not perfect, right? And if you've ever run into a grumpy church person, I apologize. But that's because we're all still in progress. We have been raised. We have become new creations, but we are still on the way. We are still on the move. We are still changing and growing. Friends, the grave is empty. The stone has been rolled away. The earth shook with great force. The question now is not whether God can raise the dead. The question now is whether you are ready to see what his resurrection power can do in your life. If you are, we can't wait to see you next Sunday for week 2 of Built Different.